Praise his name. Let's stand, if you will. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Heavenly Father, all gracious Savior, Lord of lords and King of kings, how we appreciate you. Lord, we've come tonight to worship you. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, the many blessings that you bestow on us, how unworthy, Lord, I feel. Lord, of everything you've done for me, I stand in awe. Lord, amazed at what you do, how you've ordained my footsteps and placed them on the narrow path. I pray, O Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to walk. Reveal your word to me, Lord, that I know what steps to take. Lord, and just have your way in my life. Bless everyone that's come tonight, Lord. Everyone that's made the effort, Lord, to come and to gather. Lord, we've come with one mind and one accord to hear you speak to us. Reveal your word, and Lord, and individually, Lord, whatever we have need of. Bless us now, Lord, and just bless every phase of the service, we ask. In your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. You love him?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. He's so wonderful to us. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will. Let's try to sing on page 202. Let's sing. I Must Tell Jesus. Amen. Praise his name. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, for his own.
Amen.
One who can help.
Everything. Amen. Page 237. Amen. Just a little talk with Jesus. Amen. Don't you like it when things get tough? Satan's on you? You can just whisper his name. Hallelujah. He's always there, isn't he?
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It beat my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in, your little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my past seems drear without a ray of cheer. And then a little cloud of hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry sky. But just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer of burning, oh, a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus. May have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He will.
Have you had those talks? Hallelujah. Makes it right, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Page 231, just over a couple pages there. Amen. I want the Lord to be satisfied with me. Is that your prayer, saints? Amen.
One glorious day, Jesus came and made me whole. So completely then satisfies my soul. Now as I face life's dark troubles for me see, I wonder if he is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Oh, then I'll come to that great eternity. His smile will say he is satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. Amen. I'm satisfied. It's sufficient for all man. I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But if my Lord fully satisfied with me, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, my smile will say he is satisfied with me. Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost sheep into thy fold, that I might stand unafraid, unmoved for thee, that you might be fully satisfied with me.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, my Lord, to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say, he is.
Amen. Sing it. Hallelujah.
I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he had in me. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say, he is satisfied with me.
Amen. Do you want him to smile on you? Amen. Praise his holy name. To know you have his approval. Amen. When he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. What a day that's going to be, saints. Amen. He's so wonderful. Praise his name. Brother Kevin, would you like to come up for the offering? Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. That's the blessing, if you will.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for the opportunity to come here tonight and feel your holy presence. And Lord, knowing that one of these days, Lord, you're going to be happy and satisfied that we finally reached that final reward. Lord, we can feel the excitement in our hearts, Father. It's just burning. Lord, we may not be there yet, but Lord, we know your word is just taking us one rung at a time. And Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, that you just bless us with your holy word. and give us the revelation of what a precious brother is going to bring, Lord. May there be just such an excitement in our hearts, Father. May we not be like some of these other churches, Lord, just coming in here just to sit in these pews, just to sing a song, and just to raise our hands and worship you. But Lord, let it be a burning excitement in us so that people can see that Jesus Christ is in these people. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just bless this offering. Just bless those that can give and those that can't, and just use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, Lord. And we just give it all the glory and praise to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. I'm redeemed by love divine. Amen. His love. I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. Oh, all to Him I now reside. Oh, I have been oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Have a request for him. Amen. Do you believe he'll answer it? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Praise his name. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request?
Gracious Lord, we just appreciate you. Oh,
hallelujah.
By God, that one day you redeemed our soul, Lord. By God, you set us on the right pathway, Lord. And you gave us your Holy Spirit,
yes,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Would anyone have a song tonight? Amen. In the congregation tonight. You got one, Heather? Amen. Praise his holy name.
Monday, when I Seen in everything you do, everything you say, every song you sing, every place you go, whatever it may be. Lord, I want you to be seen. That's what it's all about. Amen. Glory to his name. Let us stand together and sing this little chorus. We'll sing actually the whole song together. I just feel like I want to sing it tonight. You are my all in all. Amen. Is he your all? In all. Amen.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God. taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name. Now with every hand raised, let's sing it together. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Oh, I love him. How I appreciate him for his mercy and his grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. My, I'll tell you, I think of that little song oftentimes and think of it in my everyday life and things that's happened down through my life, and then to see the grace of God. And truly, he has been my strength when I'm weak. And he's truly my treasure that I seek. Even while I'm here tonight, he's the treasure that I seek. He is my own all. I seek him as a precious jewel. And Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, I know he took my sin and washed me white as snow. He washed you as white as snow. You are free. Free as free can be. He washed you white as snow. He took my cross. I couldn't go, but he went for me. He bore the shame for me. Rising again, I bless your holy name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. I've fell down many times in my life, but he's always picked me up. Times when I didn't think he should have picked me up, didn't feel worthy to be picked up, but still he picked me up by his mercy and grace. When I was dry, he filled me up. You are my all in all. Many a times I've been dry down through life, things and cares of life would strangle and choke and cut, and I'd get dry. It seemed like just at the right time, he'd come by and send down showers of blessings into my heart. And I'm sure he's done the same for you. So truly, he ought to be our all in all. How we ought to praise him and worship him and glorify his name for all that he's done for us. Because we're all sinners saved by grace. And all of us standing here tonight, our lives have been rewrote by the mercy of God and his riches and his grace. Oh, I'm so thankful for the God we serve. Amen. For he is my all in all. I love him with all my heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. He's so glorious. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. Timothy, come this evening, deliver the message for us as we sing a little chorus, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. How many know she is a wretch?
Amen. You was born a wretch, wasn't you? Amen. But he saved a wretch too. Hallelujah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Precious Heavenly Father, we have come here this evening, Lord, with a great desire within our hearts, Lord, to please you. And Lord, to let you have your way in our lives. And Lord, it's only your mercy and grace that each one of us have that burning, Lord, in our hearts to be here. And Lord, a zeal to press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Lord, I just pray that some way, Lord, with a few words you've laid up on my heart, that somehow it'll help someone, strengthen someone along the way. But Lord, above all, may you receive the glory and the honor from each and everything that's said and done this night. And Lord, may we grow and climb one step closer. For Lord, we truly can see the end in sight. And Lord, we want to be ready. Lord, we want to be right there to do and to be what you would have us be, Lord. That the people would see Jesus Christ again manifested in a many-membered body. Lord, just have your way. Bless your precious word, we ask. In the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Oh, don't you love him? Amen. He's so good to us. Hallelujah. Amen. My saints, where would we be if it wasn't for him? Amen. You know, I got a little thought on my heart this evening, and it's not much, but I pray that it'll just kind of run with the messages that's been coming, and that God will use it some way to maybe strengthen someone, or maybe give us that boost we need, or maybe place a more assuredness in our hearts of why I'm here, and why you're here. But while you remain standing, if you'd like to turn to your Bibles to the book of John, and just read a very familiar scripture there in the 15th chapter. And then you can be seated. Don't let it just be words, but stop and think about it.
Amen.
As we read some of these things. And John 15 and the 16th verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Amen.
and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and then whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. And you know, I sometimes wonder if we don't stop and ponder why we're sitting in this building. You know, if the scripture says, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. Oftentimes, as a group of people, we might gather in here. And do you ever stop and ask yourself, why am I gathering here? What's my purpose in being here? Maybe I'm not a minister. Maybe I'm not a song person. Maybe I just come every service and sit on a pew. But why am I here? What's my purpose, Lord? And you know, I want you to stop and think and look back. I'm not going to take the time to go through all the scriptures, but I want you to look back at the beginning of time of all the men and people that God has used up through time. And you can start with Moses, a man that God ordained from his birth for a purpose. He had a work to do. And you know, God let him go out in the wilderness for a long time to get all of Egypt out of him. But when it was time for God's plan to move, God brought him back. And he gave him everything he needed to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you can come up to the time of Noah, when God was going to destroy the earth. And he seen Noah, he gave Noah everything he needed to ride out that storm. He was there, but God's man was on the place. And Noah had no say in that matter. And Moses didn't have any say in the matter of, I'm going to be the one that brings these people out of Israel. God looked down and he said, before there was ever a moon or a star, he saw it in his mind. And he said, Moses is going to bring those children out of Egypt. Amen. And then he saw them going into bondage. And then he saw seeing Moses bringing them out of bondage, but he saw the whole picture step by step. And he looked down in time and he said, I chose that one for that. And I chose that one for this. And that one for that. And so now it come up to the time of Jesus coming on the scene. And sometimes I think, you know, when we're sitting here, we come to church and we realize that God has forgiven our sins and we've claimed we're following him. But you know, I want you to stop and think. I'd like to read here in Romans, the fifth chapter, actually, if you want to turn with me. We'll read this from the third to the eighth verse in the fifth chapter. But I want you to stop and think here before we could sit here tonight. We can claim to be sons and daughters of God and claim all these things. But it had a beginning that somebody had to pay the price for you and I. Because we were lost. We were doomed before this world was ever formed. This precious word, which was God in the beginning, had already said, the soul that sinneth shall die. And we can tie that into all the scriptures and word that we can see. And know that there had to be a way and for us to be come back. To be that blood purchased bride of Jesus Christ. And our precious prophet, he explained it many times. And I'm sure you've read those steps. But I just want you to think about it for a moment. As Jesus was here in the flesh. And then we'll just read here in Romans the fifth chapter and begin there at the third verse. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hopeth maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And you've got to see, that was you. That was me. That was our place in that scripture. And he says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And I want you to stop and think now, saints, of why you're here. Now God, back through the Old Testament, he called each one of those men for a job and a place. It was part of his plan. And he saw that plan coming up. And he knew, though, that he had to come himself, because somebody had to pay that price. So God came down in human form and went to that cross as a man. He bore your pain, my pain, the stripes I should have bore, the stripes you should have bore. Everything that he felt, we should have endured. Everything he went through should have been for us. But I want you to stop and listen. This is in conferences preached June 8th, 1963. Brother Branham speaking here. He says, "And then when that great time come," this is about paragraph 205. "There he had to make his final decision. No doubt the father said, 'Are you still ready to go through with it, son?' He said, 'Is it possible, father? Is there some other man you could find somewhere? I love my people. And I love the brethren you've given me. Is it possible that some other man could?' 'No. You're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that's virgin born. You're the only one that is born without sex. No other man, no bishop, no pope, no cardinal, no nothing can help you. It's that one. You're the only one that can do it.' And Satan was standing there ready to claim that human race. And he said, 'It writes because they had sinned.' Satan knew. He knew what had already been spoken. And he was waiting. And he was mocking God is what he was doing. It ain't going to happen. He's not going to go through with it. But God is so great. Amen. And he says, "And as the people hear the tape, seven seals, when the Lamb come forth to claim his redemption," let me drop down here, "his own blood." Let's see. "And here he was standing in Gethsemane, that great suffering, and the sin of every man was upon him. Everything that ever died, the death that was placed upon him. And he was innocent, but he had to become sin. Can you, the Holy Son of God, take the sin of adultery? Can you take the sin of punishment of adultery? Can you take the sin and the punishment of a lie? And can you take the sin of all these things? And you bear them upon yourself, yet innocent. He was the only one. And that conference was met. What did he say? 'Not my will, but thine be done.'" And I want you to think, saints, when he said that, and he went to that cross in great agony and pain, he bore every stripe. He bore everything that we could sit here today for the work that he had predestinated us for. Amen. And you know, oftentimes maybe we kind of forget that God had a plan. Maybe we forget that we just want to go through life and we go to church and we're Christians and we're living for God and we're telling everybody else about him. But that's not what his plan was. His plan was to bring a chosen people to be conformed to his image. And let's turn here to Romans, the 8th chapter, and just read this. The 29th verse. But I want you to stop and think. He looked down and he seen each one of us. He knew everything we was going to be into. Every step we was going to take from the time we were born till now. Amen. He knew. And each one of us can stop and look back at our lives, at the things that we've been into, the places we've stumbled, the places we fell. That he went to that cross for that reason. Amen. That was the reason he went there. Was to cover those sins while he was bringing many sons unto glory and into the full maturity of Christ. Amen. Just think of it, saints. There's a lot of scriptures and a lot of quotes that can just flow. But just let the Holy Spirit, as we maybe let it bring things to your mind as we go here. Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Yeah. Now each one of us has got to find ourselves within that scripture. Amen. You're not here because I chose you to be here tonight, or because our pastor chose you to be here tonight. You're not here because maybe your father or your mother chose to be here, so you chose to be here as well. But God said, "I chose you." And you've got to see that as a personal revelation to you. That as I sit here and I hear the precious word that's been coming, and maybe it sounds hard, maybe it feels cutting, maybe I see it shaving and taking off the rough edges that was mentioned there at the last service, and we see that all taking place, do I understand the purpose and the reason that it has to happen? Or do I just sit here thinking, "I thought we went to church to hear all these other things"? But we're here to fulfill a purpose in which God predestinated a people for. Amen. And he saw them in his mind and he made provision that they could be here. And that they would be on time when he wanted. And here in the message, Perfect Faith, paragraph 132, this was preached August 25th, 1963. "And when we were sinners alienated from without God in a world, in that muck of mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us. God sought you never sought God. Amen. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God came down in that muck what you were and sought you out and brought you out. And that ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was and look what you are. What did that? Somebody that loved you, can't you have faith in what he's promised you then? Real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. He caught me when I was nothing, and I'm still nothing. But I'm in his hand, see? He caught me, and he loved me when I was unlovable, and he loved you when you was unlovable. But he changed you, just like the collared sister said that time in her testimony. She said, I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be, but then I'm not what I used to be. She knew she had come from somewhere and something had happened, and that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me till he stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gives me confidence that he wants to use me and he's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me, he's seen something in you, and he had a reason to save you. Look at the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions he could have took beside you, but he took you. And no one can take your place. You're in God's economy. No one can do it, and that's his love to you. And I want you to stop and think about that, saints. A lot of times we think we're sitting here because I chose to sit here. I chose to find this message. I chose to follow this message. I chose. No, God chose you. Amen. If there's a real burning desire down in your heart, God placed it there. Amen. And you're a very special person in his sight, and he done it for a reason, because he knew that no one could do it in themselves, and he had to make a way, and he had to come. So he chose each one. I'm going to choose that one, and I'm going to use that one, and I'm going to use that one to bring forth this life through. And you know, oftentimes we may get it in our mind that I'm doing this. I'm overcoming this. I'm overcoming that. Oftentimes we get in a rut. Well, I've been in this message so many years. I knew that 20 years ago. But where's the revelation of it? This should bring every word of this Bible to maturity. You know, you take a calf, as we always talk about a calf growing. When that calf becomes a bull, there's no more a question if he's a bull or a calf at that point. He's got every attribute of a bull. His stature is that of a bull. You don't have to ask him where he's at. But his life is proving where he's at now. And that's the stage of life we've come into. It's no longer just saying, I'm a message believer, I'm a Christian, I'm following this message, and I go to the capstone life. That ain't got a thing to do with anything. But it's got to be the literal life of Jesus Christ on display in your life. Not because my pastor says it has to be this way. Not because my church says I have to do it this way. But because the word said it had to be that way. And that's the revelation that's in my heart that's bringing my body and my life under subjection to the word. Amen. And that's what we must see in a reality. Amen. And understand. It's wonderful to go along as a group. It's wonderful to be able to lean on each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. But the time is coming you're going to have to stand on your own two feet. Amen. And stand on what God has placed in your heart. And where will we be then? But oh my God, chose a people for a work. And this work is taking place now. This is in the Voice of the Sign, March 13, 64, paragraph 30. When God has called a person for a job to do, there is no one can take its place. There is no one can take your place, your peculiarity. How often I have wondered, I would like to take the place of Oral Roberts' place. How I'd like to take Billy Graham's place. Somebody like that. Like Billy Graham, go speak to an audience of people and call sinners to the altar and forget it and go home and not have to stand there and wrestle again. I cannot be Billy Graham, but neither can Billy Graham be me. See, we both, I cannot be Oral Roberts and Oral Roberts cannot be me. You're each one set in God's economy just for its place. Amen. One fasts all the time and communes with God, while another casts out devils because this one is fasting. But it's the whole body of Christ working together, the unity. And that, saints, is where it's got to come to, one mind and one accord in the unity of the faith. Yes. And be able to see God moving his people like he did on the day of Pentecost in unity. Amen. Not all just signs and wonders, but being led by the Spirit of God, being moved by the Spirit of God, being a testimony for God. Their lives was centered around the word and that only. Yes. That became their all. Amen. That was their whole focus in life, was to be pleasing. And everything was right in tune with what God had for him. But you know, it was a very popular unopinion of that day. of you to be a Christian. And you, when you see when the Holy Ghost truly came and the suffering and the pain that they all went through, literally giving up their lives and the things that happened then. And I was, this is in Three Kinds of Believers, speaking of Joseph. God had called him for a work. But listen here, Brother Bram says, paragraph, this is preached November 24, 63, paragraph 106. Joseph, another believer, he couldn't help being what he was. He was a prophet. God made him a prophet. He didn't want to be different from his brothers, but he was different. And God made him what he is. And saints, take it to yourself as a person. Maybe you would like to be like your natural brother or sister. Maybe you would like to, in yourself, you thought, oh, I'd like to be like that. But there's something down on the inside of you that's turning you. Maybe your natural brother or sister say, oh, why don't you come and believe what I believe? Why don't you come and live like I live? But something down on the inside of you, you wasn't built that way. You wasn't predestinated that way, because when God chose you, he placed something down on the inside that's different than all this so-called that's around us. All these other lives, when God, it's mercy and grace, saints, if it's in there. But God's placed a something special, something different, and not everyone has it. And not everybody can have it. But God chose special ones to give it to. And he says God made him what he is. Nobody else could take his place. And let me drop it down here. He says nobody can take your place in this great economy, body of Christ in order, till there is no one can take your place. How? I'll drop it down. Sorry. Amen. God has set you in your place. See, Joseph was a prophet, and he couldn't help it because he could interpret dreams. He couldn't help because he saw visions. And watch how true he was. No matter what it cost him, his fellowship with his brothers, he was true. And saints, look what it, each one of you can look in your life and ask yourself, what's it cost me to serve God? And if it hasn't cost you anything, you need to stop and back up somewhere. Because it is a dedicated life. When you begin to walk with Christ, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you popularity. It's going to cost you that, oh, why don't you come be with us? Why don't you do what we're doing? Hey, let's go here together. Let's go there together. It cuts that. And it's gone. And it's not something that you have to do. But as your life conforms to the word, you watch the darkness separate from the light. It's a spontaneous reaction. And it can't be helped. But saints, that's the hour we're living in. But there's a people that's called to be a peculiar people, a called out people. And you're going to be different from so much other else that's in this message. And maybe you say, I don't think it has to be that way. But you just look, when God calls a few select, it causes separation. And you, when God moves out, it's such a few. But God is looking for someone to stand. In this age when it's all falling apart and we see all this taking place around us and we know the coming of the Lord is so close. And there's so much to be done for God. But this is in Why Christ Speak. Brother Branham speaking here, paragraph 108. This was preached July 14, 63. The Christians today should say the same thing. I am glad to regard myself a Christian and to abstain from the things of the world and the order of the world, not as just a church member, but a born-again Christian who lives according to the esteem that a greater thing than what I, if I was the most, I'm sorry, that lives according to the scripture, though I be called even by members of the church a fanatic, yet I esteem that greater thing than what if I was the most popular person in the city or in the nation. I'd rather be that than the president of the United States or the king over the earth. You see, I esteem that so highly because God in his mercy, before the foundation of the world, he saw me and placed a little seed in there that my faith would fly above the things of the world. And now he's called me and I regard my place. As Paul said, he regarded his office with high CO that God had called him from being a great teacher like Gamaliel. But Paul had been called to be a sacrifice for Christ. And saints, let's turn over here to Romans, the 12th chapter, and just read a very familiar scripture. Romans 12, and begin there at the first verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And saints, I pray tonight that each one of us, with the messages that have been coming, that that's our desire, is to be that sacrifice. Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, let me be that one that you can express that life through. It's not, God had to have his ministry, as our brother was bringing. And the ministry has their job to do. But we as laity have a job to do as well. We're to be the recipient of that word that's to come. And by that, we should be the ones growing into that maturity in the stature of Christ. The unity of one accord around the precious word. Not discouraged and not split, but it ought to be bringing such a unity into our hearts that I've got one goal in mind, and that's to be what Jesus Christ predestinated me to be. But you know, you've got to see it for yourself that you was predestinated to be that person in this day that Jesus Christ said he was going to live through. And you can't go off me telling you you're going to be that person. You can't go off our pastor telling you and patting you on the back and telling you how good a job you're doing. You can't go off of that. But it's got to be revealed to you that when it's dark and there's no lights and there's no one to call and no one to get a hold of, no hand to hold you, that you can look Satan in the face and know and look back as Enoch stood there before his translation and knew he pleased God. And that little bride will have that same testimony before she leaves this earth. It'll be a burning reality in her heart that she knows. And it'll be the same as Jesus said, show me what the scripture said I would do that I haven't done. That little bride will be so exact, just like that. Oh, my saints, may it burn in our hearts to be that. And to let God take us in his hands. I am the clay. Mold me and make me what you want me to be, Lord. You know, oftentimes we get a little stiff and maybe we don't want to bend. Then maybe our own way of thinking hinders us from giving in. Maybe I feel someone said this against me. Somebody said that and I don't think it was right. And I kind of ball up inside and get hard feelings over it. But it can't be, saints. It's got to be Jesus Christ 100%. Because we're coming right down to the line. And you know, let me read this. This is something that was in What Shall I Do With This Jesus Called Christ. And we realize the prophet came in our day with a word to prepare that bride. But I was just reading this. It'll just take me a few minutes here. This is January 26, 1964, paragraph 36. And when he was identified to them, who he said he was, but he never did come right out and tell them, I am the Son of God. No, they have to believe that. He said, my works testify who I am. He commanded them, look into the scriptures and see what day they were living in. And then they would know what he was. I think it would behoove us to do this as we see another exodus at hand. I think we should look and search the scriptures when we see things arise. We notice that the church has made their decision that they wanted nothing to do with him. Why, when the word correctly identified him and his works vindicated that he was the Messiah, such a horrible, crucial thing, a mistake that church made. And I wonder if it could be possible that we could make that same mistake. They had been given their last chance to see what he was and to accept it. And you won't always have the opportunity to accept what God sends. His patience finally runs out, and then you cross that line between grace and judgment. There is nothing left but judgment when God's patience finally runs out. But they had been given this opportunity and had seen him identify himself and seen him all that he was at the well with the woman and told her she had had five husbands. And seen Nathanael come up to him after Philip had went through Nathanael into his presence, and he spoke and told exactly who he was and where he come from, and told Simon Peter who his father was and what his name was, and they hadn't had a prophet in hundreds of years. And I want you just to look at that as a type of Brother Branham coming on the scene and God speaking and identifying that this is my mouthpiece. This is my word that I'm speaking. He was thoroughly identified in the scripture. And the message that he brought was thoroughly identified. And even that little prostitute recognized the word of God. She wasn't all mixed up in something. She said her mind wasn't all, well, what could... Her mind wasn't all, what could we call, if you excuse the expression for this, muddled up, running here and there. It was a virgin mind as far as that's concerned. She said, we know the Messiah is coming and this is what he'll do. And he said, I am he. And quickly she ran and told the men in the city, come see him. This is that very Messiah. And how many ran and said, oh, come see, this is the prophet. This is that prophet that was to come. Come and hear him. And look how many people ran And how many people still are saying, come hear the prophet that's come. But why those educators and people of that day couldn't see that, it'd be hard to see if you wouldn't know the scriptures. But the scripture said they were blinded, and they were actually blinded, but they chose rather, instead of that lovely Jesus, we hear him come out and cry, crucify him. And Pilate said, what will I do with that Jesus, which is called Christ? And they said, away with him, crucify him. Who shall I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus? And they made a great mistake by choosing a murderer instead of a life giver, one that was identified as a life giver. They chose a murderer who was identified as a life taker. What a contrast. And I wonder if we can look at it. As there was a life giver there saying, thus saith the Lord, this is how it is, and some man will get up today. And Satan speaking, saying, it ain't so, it ain't like that. And people are swallowing it up. And they're crying, crucify him. That's basically, they're crucifying the Lord afresh. And taking it over, and it says, but I say with all godly respects for my brothers and sisters and for the men and women of this day who I preach to, with love in my heart for all people, I wonder if we're not about ready to see the same thing as they seen then. The government had become involved in this, and the issue was on, and the question must be settled. It was at a showdown. And so it has been today, and so it is in this hour. The showdown is on. Something has got to be done. You've got to say yes or no. But remember, it won't be when you're forced to do it. You have to do it on your free moral will now. Not when that time takes place. When it does, it's over. And this may be the last day you'll have time to make choice. You can't do it then. You've already took it. It's too far at that time. You must do it now. Don't wait till the last minute, because the boat will pull out and leave and the doors will be closed. Many people would have come into that ark if they could have gotten in there when the rain started falling. But the issue was made and the gospel was preached and the signs were showed. And the time was over, and when the rain was falling and judgment was on. And saints, that's where we're standing today. By God's grace, he chose a people. And he put them in an ark and prepared them. And he gave them his word to prepare them for that great exodus that's going to take place. And there's many people that's standing all around hearing the same thing. When Noah was preaching, I'm sure there was many a people all over. And he didn't hearken. He didn't hold back from them. He told them the rain was coming and God was going to destroy the earth. He told them, he'd give them his message over and over again. And they wouldn't hearken to that message. And when the rain began to fall, then they wanted to hearken to it. But now's the time to let the Holy Spirit dip into your heart and hearken to what God is trying to say and show of people. We have got a work to do. It may be left for us, and it's not. It may not be signs and wonders, as our brother was saying, but there's got to be a people so in tune that Jesus said, I have chosen you that if you should ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. I'll do it. My, what God can do and what he wants to do. But we have got to get in that place of knowing. Genuine, not just saying we know, I know, I by his stripes I'm healed and this, that, and the other, but we've got to be able to stand there and see with a reality that if I say, by his stripes I am healed, and know that God's revealed that to me, there's an action that takes place that proves God healed me. Not just my mouth and people saying, well, God healed her, but there's no evidence of it. But it's got to be a revelation to each one of us that great that it may not be, it may not happen out here where everybody can see it, but God's going to prove. He'll prove to you and he'll prove to others around that he lives to ever back up every word he ever promised. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen. I hope we're being able to see the, in our hearts as individuals, the perfection that God's looking for. And everything happened to be, as I mentioned this morning, in exactly the way God said it to be. Why don't you sisters come on up and answer to it, please. I trust that's what the Holy Ghost is putting in your heart. That we're not just message believers and just fooling around like you see so much of it today. I mean, it's getting so filthy, so ungodly, so unclean, so worldly, it's almost unbelievable. But the thing of it is, there's got to be a people recognizing that the way God said it to be, that's exactly the way it has to be. And he, just as Brother Timothy mentioned it again in the scripture, he talked about scripture in Romans, the 12th chapter. Did you really think about that? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies
as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now watch what's coming. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you listening? That ye may prove. What is prove? Vindicate. That ye may prove what is that good. Vindicate what's good of God. Vindicate what's acceptable in God. And vindicate what is the perfect will of God. It has to be vindicated. No wonder he told us to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Because that's the only way it's going to happen, is our body is given to him as a living sacrifice so he can come in and take our life completely over. So that he can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So people's got to see in you what is the perfect will of God. Not something tainted, not something that's blurred and smeary, but he's got to see what, people has got to see what is that acceptable, perfect will of God in your life. And the only way he's got it to happen is he's got you. He chose you, as he spoke about tonight, predestinated you, and he's going to use you so he can prove his perfect will for you. No wonder he wants it exact, because all the way from Genesis to Revelation, there couldn't be anything tainted. Nothing. And while we were getting there, kept us covered with his blood. Hallelujah. He knew we was born in sin, shaping iniquity, came in this world speaking lies. He knew we would make mistakes, but the thing of it is, he knew also he would make us overcomers. Amen. That the word would come, we quit this. Word would come, we quit that. Be controlled by the word of God which he gives. For as we would receive the word, we would become the word. Be more as he is. Oh my. And in the end, right before the appearing of the Lord, he'd be proven exactly what his perfect will is in through your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, how could it be his perfect will he's going to prove through you if we loved the worldly things? Can't do it. Because the scripture said, he that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not even in him. So how could he prove that's his perfect will? When we're supposed to be his representatives, that perfect will is supposed to be coming through, and yet here we are, we want this in the world, we want that in the world, we want to act like this. And then Hollywood comes up with little phrases and little things they say, and we pick it up because the neighbors are saying it, because somebody on the job is saying it. So then we all start talking like the Hollywood comedians or the Hollywood people. Our little phrases, our little things we say, how we say it, how we express it. It came right from Hollywood. When we should be a people that those things shouldn't even come close to touching us. I want to talk like the King. The King. The Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to think like he thinks. I want to talk like he would talk. I want to go where he would go. I want to say what he would say. Hallelujah. Then I know it's his perfect will being expressed. Hallelujah. But remember, he predestinated people to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. He predestinated people. He chose you, as he said. You didn't choose this route. No, I didn't choose this. I didn't choose this way. No way did I choose this way. It was God chose me. And that's the way you all see it in your life. Yeah. Because God chose me. I could see it years ago. I mean years ago when I was just a little fella. Strange things happened in my life. And I knew God was there, and there was a real God somewhere. Finally, day I found that real God. Hallelujah. And he's the one true God. Oh, my. And I could tell you many experiences. And I'm sure you could, too. How you can show how God and see how God was leading you all the time. You may have thought you were stumbling here and stumbling there, but all the time it was God. Oh, my. Yes. But he could tell you a lot of things. A lot of things. And I've mentioned a lot of things before, and there's things I have never mentioned. but I know God is real. Amen. And then to think of the many times I failed Him. Many a times that I had to be a disgusting mess to Him. But God, rich in mercy, brought me out. And He's still bringing me out. And He's still taking me higher and higher and higher. Hallelujah. And I want to keep on coming higher until one day I lift off of this earth. Amen. I want to be what He wants me to be. Oh, I want the people to see Jesus in me. I want the people to see Jesus Christ in you. Amen. And when we all get to heaven, what a wonderful day that's going to be. Amen. Then we're going to, you know, it may not seem like at times now in this life, it may not seem like it's worth it. I hope it does. But there may be seen times in your life that to some of you it may not seem like it's worth it. But one day you will. You'll see very much how it's been very worth it. Oh, my. To take this way of the Lord's despised few. Hallelujah. Amen. I love Him. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Amen. You're thankful for God and His mercy, His greatness. Amen. Let's all stand together and let's sing this little chorus. When I think of His, well, no, it's the title of it. It's in the moments like this, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. Amen. You want to sing Him a love song?
Amen.
Now, you really love Him?
Yes.
Amen. Really love Him? You know, maybe when you, some of you men, you know, when you first fell in love with your wife, you know, and you just had this love, just seemed like it's all you seen was her. I'm telling you, you went to work and that's all you seen. You went to bed, that's all you seen. And all you could, till one day you finally married her, you know. I'm going to tell you what, this love for Him is much greater than that. Oh my, hallelujah. In moments like this, I sing out a song. And I want to sing out a love song to my Lord Jesus. Amen. So if you want to sing out a love song to Him too with me, let's do it together. Amen. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song for Father, we love You and appreciate You. Lord, truly, the only way that we can prove it is, Father, we do everything You has told us to do and tell us to do, that we keep Your commandments, that, Lord, whatever You tell us, it's burning on our hearts to do it exactly the way You want it done. Lord, when I continue to think of this subject, of Lord, of a God of great perfection, the one true and only God that knows all things, the one that by You all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. And then, Lord, how You come down to Your servants, as our brother spoke about old Noah. And Lord, You told Noah exactly how to build that ark. And You recorded in the Word of God. He wrote down everything You told him. Where to put the pitch, what type of wood to use, how long to build it, how high it would be, where to put the door. And Lord, that little old Noah, he obeyed your word. And he built that ark exactly like you told him to build it. And one thing about it, Lord, he knew it and he was assured it was going to float. It was going to carry him through just exactly like you told him, because you knew exactly what you was doing. And he listened to you because you knew exactly what you was doing. And Father, all up through the scriptures, even Moses himself, Lord, how he led the children of Israel. Now, if he would have done something different than what you told him, but yet, Lord, he had to follow every step. He started out, Lord, and calling frogs and flies and all kinds of things, and to get you, or get old Pharaoh to release those children. And he wouldn't do it yet, and he followed the next step. And he wouldn't do it, and he followed another step. And then finally, old Pharaoh got fed up with it and told Moses, get those people out of there. But then old Moses, or old Pharaoh, thought he was going to foil the plan of God again. He let them go on and start on their journey. And he knew they was coming to that sea, and what was they going to do then? He thought for sure he could trap them. But old Moses began to talk to you again, Lord, and you told him exactly what to do. And Lord, that old ocean, that old sea opened up. And Father, those children began to cross on dry land. Again, the enemy thought, oh, he'll still get them. He'll still get them. They don't have a chance. But yet, Lord, Moses was following your great plan. And he done exactly what you told him to do. And Lord Jesus, we know the story. How you close the waters and destroy all Pharaoh's army. And Lord, we can just keep right on going, clear up through. And find at any time any man of God followed the instructions of your word, that whatever you told him, you were sure to carry him through. And Lord, we're looking in this end time now and the few days left in this life. That Father, if we follow every instruction you give us, we can have that assurance, Lord, that you're going to carry us through and carry us right out of this world. Oh, Father, what a glorious time we're living in. It may seem so hard on the flesh, but yet, Lord, it's such a glorious time, a wonderful time, Lord, to follow the instructions of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost alone shall set us free and carry us through and give us liberty. Oh, God, if we only follow you. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us the instructions. Lord, by your mercy and grace, we'll follow you. Because, Lord, we've got that assurance you're going to take us through. Grant that now, Lord. Let us continue to follow thee. And bring us back now, Lord, in this little place, if you should tarry, if it be your will, Lord, to receive further instructions. And, Lord, again, we'll give you the glory and the honor for it. We thank you for everything now. Bless your holy name. And we love you with all our hearts. And oh God, we'll sing it to you again before we leave. We'll sing you a little love song, Lord. But one of these days, we're going to be able to sing praises to you throughout eternity and glorify your name. In your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, with every hand raised. In moments like these, I lead out a song, hallelujah. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my
God bless you. You're dismissed.